In today's news headlines, the largest ever climate change-related protest actions in world history took place on Friday as part of the global climate strike. Organizers estimated that about 4 million people all over the planet participated in thousands of actions. According to Vox, there were over 2,500 events scheduled in over 163 countries on all seven continents. In New York City alone, which is where the United Nations Climate Conference is being held on Monday, a whopping 250,000 people showed up for an event that had been permitted for only 5,000 attendees. Swedish teen activist Greta Thunberg addressed the crowd and also spoke at the UN Climate Conference on Monday. We'll be bringing you excerpts of both her Friday and Monday speeches on our show. Climate-related actions are expected to continue through September 27th. A group called Shutdown DC has pledged to bring Washington, D.C. to a standstill on Monday. About 14 streets were shut down at various times during the day. Meanwhile, at the United Nations, President Donald Trump was expected to skip the climate conference and focus only on a forum on religious freedom, but he ended up making a surprise visit to the climate conference for a few minutes. Politico described the UN gathering, saying, quote, "The summit brings together leaders from dozens of countries to submit climate plans intended to surpass the emissions reduction and renewable energy goals of the 2016 Paris Agreement, an accord from which Trump withdrew, and that many of the remaining signatories are well short of fulfilling." In other climate-related news, Oxfam International released a major report on Monday about how the world's poorest communities, who have had the least contribution to fossil fuel emissions and are the worst impacted by climate change, are also disproportionately paying for the damage from the climate crisis. While at the UN during his three-day visit to New York, Trump is hoping to build support for a U.S.-led response to Iran amidst allegations that Iran struck Saudi Arabia's oil fields. He's also expected to face questions about Ukraine over a major scandal threatening his presidency. On Sunday, Trump admitted to reporters that he had solicited information about his rival, former Vice President Joe Biden, from the Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky during a phone call that prompted a whistleblower to file a complaint.
"Conversation I had was largely congratulatory, was largely corruption, all of the corruption taking place, was largely the fact that we don't want our people, like Vice President Biden and his son, creating to the corruption already in the Ukraine.
That's Trump on Sunday admitting that he asked Ukraine's leader to investigate Biden. Trump has called into question the patriotism of the whistleblower who first made the complaint about the president's phone call. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer has called on Majority Leader Mitch McConnell to release transcripts of the call. High-ranking Republican Senator Lindsey Graham has also called the White House to release more details. Meanwhile, Democrats continue to be crippled by inaction over impeachment. House Intelligence Committee Chair Adam Schiff hinted that impeachment is becoming more likely, but emphasized his party's reluctance. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi also remained reluctant, saying only that the Ukraine scandal opened a, quote, new chapter of lawlessness. But younger and newer House Democrats are being much bolder on this issue, with Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez slamming her colleagues over the weekend, saying on Twitter that, quote, "The bigger national scandal isn't the president's law-breaking behavior. It is the Democratic Party's refusal to impeach him for it." On Sunday, Trump appeared at a major rally in Houston, Texas, as the opening act for Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi. Modi addressed a massive crowd of tens of thousands of mostly Indian Americans gathered for an event dubbed Howdy Modi. Modi introduced Trump to the cheering crowds before the two leaders walked hand in hand around NRG Stadium.
"Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you my friend, a friend of India, a great American president, Mr. Donald Trump."
Outside the Houston event, thousands of South Asian American protesters gathered to denounce Modi's Hindu nationalist government that has faced international condemnation for its persecution of caste and religious minorities, as well as India's latest occupation of Kashmir. Under the banner of Adios Modi, Activists chanted in Hindi and Urdu against lynchings of Indian Muslims and compared Modi to Hitler. Former Vice President Joe Biden was among several Democratic presidential candidates to speak at a forum in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, focused on LGBTQ issues last Friday. Among the most important moments of the forum was a tense exchange between moderator Liz Lenz and Biden about his record on the 1994 crime bill.
I know, how do you assure the American public that you won't once again support increased incarceration? And as president, will you support legislation prohibiting enforcement from targeting LGBTQ people?
Yes, I absolutely will. But let's get something straight. You're wrong about the act. That act was overwhelmingly supported by the African-American community, overwhelmingly supported by the community at large. Everyone from Ted Kennedy on voted for it. It did not have mandatories in it. That's not what it was about.
When Ms. Lenz asked him about his remarks on Mike Pence, Biden responded this way.
You have also praised Vice President Mike Pence as a decent guy.
You're a lovely person.
Later, Lenz tweeted, quote, as I was walking off the stage with Joe Biden, he said to me dryly, you're a real sweetheart. She told USA Today, it's 2019. You shouldn't be calling women sweethearts, and thought Biden's comments were condescending. At a separate forum in Iowa, Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, who gave the keynote speech, said of Biden, there are few people who fit into the kind of progress that we all want to see in this country, and I would say he is not one of them. Meanwhile, Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has come under fire for skipping the LGBTQ forum. A police officer in Florida has been suspended for arresting two young children last week in Orlando. Officer Dennis Turner, a school resource officer, arrested a 6-year-old girl and, in a separate incident, an 8-year-old boy. Education Department Secretary Betsy DeVos is under fire for threatening to cut funding for Middle Eastern studies programs in higher educational institutions because they portray Islam too positively for her comfort. The program in question is the Duke-UNC Consortium for Middle East Studies. In a letter to the program, the Department of Education wrote, quote, there is a considerable emphasis placed on the understanding the positive aspects of Islam, while there is an absolute absence of any similar focus on the positive aspects of Christianity, Judaism, or any other religion or belief system in the Middle East. And finally, in international news, the Egyptian government has arrested hundreds of protesters on Monday after anti-government protests broke out on Friday. Growing anger over President Abdel Fattah al-Sisi has sparked a new chapter in the Egyptian struggle for freedom and democracy. In addition to arresting nearly 400 people, Sisi's government has also cracked down on social media access in an effort to curb political organizing. And that does it for our news headlines today.